Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Monday, February the 26th. It is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Mondays matter. Remember that today. Mondays matter. Mondays set that tone for the entire week. Whatever you skip on Monday, you are likely to skip on Tuesday. Mondays matter because it represents a day for all of us to do better and to be better. You know, we have created a monster out of a day of the week, and the monster is so powerful that it even overpowers our Sundays, because a lot of us can't even enjoy church on Sunday because we are dreading going to work on Monday. But today matters, and we're going to approach this day with a different mindset. We are going to make a difference today because Mondays matter. So welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If you're new to the call, my name is Marcus D. Collins. And I get an opportunity to lead an amazing group of people, Grace Community Church. And we are so delighted that you decided to jumpstart your morning with us today. You know, last week we talked about the restless soul, things that causes us to become restless. But we don't have to be restless, but can find rest in God. You need to go back and listen to last week's call on our website at gracechurchal.com. It will bless your bones. This week, I want to talk about the seduced soul. I heard a story of this father who has six kids. And when his fifth son was 18 months, he said he loved toys that rattle. He would play with these rattling toys all day. Well, one day he heard him on the front porch just having a ball. He was yelling and jumping, just sheer delight. And so the dad went outside to see what was bringing his son so much joy. And so he asked his son, "Hey, what's going on?" His son pointed down and said, "My friend, my friend." When the daddy looked down at his friend, guess what? It was a living rattlesnake right there on their front porch. And evidently, he was overwhelmed with the wiggling and the rattle on the end of this venomous snake's tail. And so the dad kind of panicked and dove on him and did a power roll and took his son away. But what fascinated the dad was how his little child was seduced into loving something that was ultimately very dangerous to him. And that's what I want to talk about today. The reality that so many of us are seduced into settling for and even pursuing things that are dangerous to us. This morning, we are talking about the sin of idolatry. Now, why is this so important? Last week, we established something very important. We are not a body with a soul, but we are a soul with a body. This is very important, and I hope it sinks in. Whenever we die, our bodies die, but technically we don't die. We continue to live. We're actually not a body. Our body is a house for who we are. We're really a soul. We are a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. And so a lot of times we talk about detoxing our bodies, which I think is good. It's important. But this time we're talking about having a soul detox. And I want to talk about detoxing from those idols that seduce us subtly. Scripture says this, the very first of the Ten Commandments, you know it. You shall have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. And then Deuteronomy chapter 4 picks it up and says, do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol in any form, whether of a man or a woman, an animal on the ground, a bird in the sky, a small animal that scurries along the ground, or a fish in the deepest sea. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced into worshiping them. Now, that phrase is so important because, let's be honest, most of us aren't going to choose to worship an animal that scurries along the ground or a small animal that scurries along the ground. Most of us just by nature aren't going to go out and go, "Oh, star in the sky, I bow down to worship you." However, we can be seduced into worshiping something that is not the one true God. And I know that many of us aren't going to make a golden calf and worship the calf like the Israelites did. And because we view idolatry through those lenses, some of you have already tuned out mentally because you don't bow down to a calf or worship the stars or have shrines in your house. So I'll do it this way. In the book, The Wounded Healer, Henry Nguyen retells a tale from ancient India. Four royal brothers decided each to master a special ability. Time went by and the brothers met to reveal what they had learned. "I've mastered a science," said the first, "by which I can take a bone of some creature and create the flesh that goes with it." "I," said the second, "know how to grow that creature's skin and hair if there is flesh on his bones." The third said, "I am able to create his limbs if I have flesh, the skin, and the hair." "And I," concluded the fourth, "know how to give life to that creature if its form is complete." Thereupon, the brothers went into the jungle to find a bone so they could demonstrate their specialties. As faith would have it, the bone they found was a lion's bone. One added flesh to the bone, the second grew hide and hair, the third completed it with matching limbs, and the fourth gave the lion life. Shaking his mane, the ferocious beast arose and jumped on his creators. He killed them all and vanished contentedly into the jungle. Here's the lesson. We too have the capacity to create what can devour us. Goals and dreams can consume us. Possessions and property can turn and destroy us by seducing us away from the one true and living God. You see, we may not kill chickens or have statues in our homes that we surround with fruit that goes bad, but if you look closer, we all have those things that can seduce us away from God and become our idols. And so the first thing we need to do this morning is identify the idols of our souls. Now, here's the challenge. What we're going to talk about is very easy to justify and rationalize and bring all sorts of excuses as to why some things aren't idols. Nevertheless, I'm going to give you three different kinds of things you can look at to see, am I idolizing something? I know you're ready. I want you to ask yourself these three questions. How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? And what do I talk about in conversation the most? How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? And what do I talk about in conversation the most? And if you find that the vast majority of your time is always kind of focused on the same thing, or if you look at your bank account and realize, man, I'm spending a lot of money in a certain direction and none of it or very little goes to God or to helping people, but it's all going toward this thing. Or if you find yourself in conversation with people and the conversation always drifts in one way to your favorite hobby or this, that may be something worth paying attention to. Time, money, and conversation. Let me show you what I'm talking about in scripture. In Exodus chapter 32, we see idolatry illustrated. That is what it involves. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt by God, right? As Moses was on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, the law, it seemed to take longer than the people thought it should. And what did they do? They quickly looked for something. Here it is, to fill this void. Because empty hearts long for something to fill the vacuum and bring joy and meaning in life. Therefore, the beginning of idolatry, watch this, is a result of an unfulfilled longing. The beginning of idolatry is the result of an unfulfilled longing. That's how it starts. And now that it has started, it's going to ask for something. The first thing Aaron asked them to do was to bring their golden earrings and jewelry. Because idolatry will ask for your valuables in exchange for satisfaction and purpose. It started out because you were trying to fill a void. Now you are spending your money on it in the hopes of it fulfilling you. Now that it has your money, it also wants your time. Aaron called the people together to worship this idol and enjoy the festivities. They gladly took the opportunity to come together and spend time with this new feature in their midst. This was a social event, and the influences spread rapidly among the people. Aaron even tried to give this event a spiritual twist when he said it is the feast of the Lord. Idolatry often involves social ties. People with similar affections gather around the idols they love. And because we are trying to fill a void and paying money in exchange for purpose and satisfaction, naturally, we're going to spend a great deal of our time with it. Because we find ways to spend time doing and enjoying the things we love the most. And the more time we spend with our idol, the greater our affection for it becomes. And as our affection for this thing increases, so does our desire for more. It becomes a vicious cycle, feeding on itself. And because I'm now spending so much time with my idol and has invested so much of my money on my idol, guess what? I'm going to talk about my idol every chance I get. I had a void that I was trying to fill. I found something that promised to bring me purpose and satisfaction. So I invested my money on it. I spent a lot of my time with it, and I talk about it every chance I get. How you spend your time, where you spend your money, and what you talk about the most reveals who or what has your affection. I want to ask you some questions, and I really want you to ponder these questions today and this week as we talk more about idolatry. Where do I turn for comfort and security in difficult moments? What are the things I feel the most anxious or stressed about losing? What activities or pursuits do I find myself constantly chasing, even at the expense of other things? What are the conversations I find myself drawn to most often? And do I find myself comparing myself to others and seeking their approval excessively? We're going to talk about idolatry this week because a significant root cause of idolatry that I really want you to be mindful of is the human desire for significance and a sense of purpose. When you feel insecure, lost, or unfulfilled, you may instinctively search for external sources of validation and meaning. And this yearning can manifest in various forms of idolatry as individuals attempt to fill the void with things that promise fulfillment but ultimately leave you empty. Material possessions, achievements, or even relationships can become substitutes for the deeper sense of belonging and purpose found in a connection with God. These external objects or pursuits offer a temporary illusion of significance, but fail to address the underlying need for security, love, and acceptance. And church, this pursuit of meaning through fleeting substitutes can become a form of idolatry, ultimately leading to disappointment, unmet expectations, and a deeper sense of emptiness if we don't address it. So today, I want you to ask God to reveal any areas in your own life where you may have formed idolatrous attachments. All right? So let's pray. Eternal God, as we reflect on the tendency of our hearts to wander and become seduced by fleeting attachments, we come before you this morning seeking your guidance and grace. Open our eyes to the ways in which we might be unintentionally elevating things other than you to a place of supreme importance in our lives. Help us recognize the idols that may be subtly shaping our thoughts and desires and actions, whether they be material possessions, achievements, or even relationships. Grant us the courage and honesty to confront these attachments, not with self-condemnation, but with a sincere desire to return to the true source of our fulfillment. Remind us today that true joy and purpose and security are found only in you. Guide us towards a deeper understanding of your love and grace so that we may loosen our grip on earthly treasures and turn wholeheartedly towards you. Fill us, Father, fill the void within us with your presence and empower us to seek fulfillment in your love and service. Cleanse our minds and hearts and guide us back to the path of righteousness. Renew our spirits and strengthen our resolve to live according to your will. And may your love be the guiding light in our lives, leading us away from sin and towards the path of righteousness and true devotion. As we stand at the threshold of a new week, we pause, Father, to acknowledge your presence, and we are seeking your guidance today. We offer thanks for the gift of this new beginning, a chance to refresh ourselves and start anew. May this week be filled with moments of joy and peace and connection. May we find opportunities to learn, grow, and contribute positively to the world around us. We ask for your blessings on our loved ones and colleagues and those in need. May they experience your love and care in their lives. And Father, as we get our day started, some have already started. As we get our day started, Lord, we ask that you would grant us traveling grace and mercy, be our protection, be our guide. We come against any freak accidents, anything that would prevent us from reaching our destinations throughout this day, safe, sound, and secure. Lord, help us to be the light in someone's dark place today. But you said in your word that we are the salt of the earth. We are the moral preservatives. So, Lord, let us not participate in the stench that surrounds us today, but allow us to release our fragrance wherever we are. The fragrance of your love, the fragrance of your mercy, and the fragrance of your grace. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and honor. It's in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen. And amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We're talking about idolatry this week. So make sure you join us tomorrow as we uncover these idolatrous attachments and learn more about significance and purpose and how God has the panacea, the antidote to fill those empty places in our lives. Hey, listen, we're praying for you today. I am rooting for you today. Be careful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.